The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Sean Quinn, Craig Forsyth and Stephen Powell in the studio. Three meetings to look forward to on Tuesday. We have Jumps Racing from Catterick and Leicester, and there's all-weather racing on the poly track at Lingfield as well. So tune in for all of that. Right now though, we're going to look ahead to some of the action and do the Monday jury. My name is Mark Walton, and delighted to be joined in the studio by a special guest this afternoon, Brian Toomey. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
Good. Now, obviously, a lot of people will know what happened to you up at Perth. Everything all right now? You look okay, to be honest. Is everything coming on nicely?
Yeah, to be honest, I don't realise how lucky I am. Everything's very good. And I've been back for an MRI scan last week, and it all looks like that everything's half repaired and everything's going the right way, so I'm very, very lucky.
What's the plan now then, Brian? We were talking off air and you were just saying that there's did you say 95% chance that you won't be able to ride again?
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah. I would love to be riding today at Musselburgh, and I'd be hoping it wasn't a non-runner because there's so many non-runners at Musselburgh. But yeah, I would love to get back to doing it. I loved my job, but it's going to be tricky because there's so much insurance in horse racing, and I doubt I'll be allowed, but I'm not going to give up without a fight. I'm going to try.
Good to hear. And you're going to try and stay involved with horse racing though? It hasn't put you off at all?
Not one bit, no. It hasn't put, like, I would, yeah, anything I do will evolve around horses. I wasn't just a jockey. I loved horses. I loved the way they were trained. I loved all that kind of thing, so anything I do will evolve around them.
Good stuff. We're going to do the Monday jury on this edition of the podcast. We're going to take the questions out of the Racing Post. And a pretty interesting Monday jury as well, following the weekend action, only a couple of weeks away from the Cheltenham Festival as well. So did you enjoy this weekend?
Yeah, to be honest, I haven't missed a trick with racing. Unfortunately, I can't do a lot at the moment, so all I do is watch racing, and so I haven't missed a trick.
Good stuff. You should be perfectly placed to answer these questions. And let's get stuck into the action. The first question is, what's your idea of the Supreme Novices Hurdle winner? We obviously saw Irving win the Dove Cup quite impressively, and a couple of decent juveniles over the weekend. Who do you like at the moment?
To be honest, I like William Mullins' horse for Tour.
Yeah.
He's a very, very tough horse, and he was placed in tough races over France, and said, and William Mullins really likes this race, and Ruby Walsh is a master at the track, so I'm very hopeful that he could go and do it.
Okay, Vatar, currently the 11-4 market leader. We trimmed Irving into 3-1 after that race. Another one that William Mullins has in the race is Wicklow Brave, 9-1 third favourite at the moment. He has only had two runs over hurdles, of course, and won quite impressively in both of them. And the form of that latest win has been franked at the weekend, with Real Steel winning on Sunday in Nace. He finished third, about 8 lengths behind Wicklow Brave. So that form being boosted, could you see him coming into it at each way price?
Yeah, I could see him definitely coming into it at an each way price. But if I had to choose, I couldn't look past Vatour. He was placed in France, and he said he won a tough tracks in Ireland, and I think that he's, for a juvenile, I think he's streets ahead of the rest of them, to be honest.
Okay, so Vatar would be a pretty confident selection, is that?
Yeah, I really like him.
Okay. The second question then, could either Activial or Abyssial muscle in on the Triumph Hurdle?
I don't think Cheltenham will suit Activial. I think Abseal will need very soft ground, I think, and I think I would rather be an Abseal, yeah.
Yeah.
I think he'd have a chance.
Yeah, he's pretty ground dependent though, probably.
Yeah, and to be honest, he likes soft ground, and Cheltenham's not too far away, and the weather forecast is not very good. He's got a good chance of getting soft ground, so I think I would like to be on him.
Okay, and with regards to Activial, from what I was reading after the weekend, it seems that they'd probably consider Aintree as a better option than Cheltenham.
Yeah, Aintree will suit him better. He's got a lot of pace. I think a flat track will suit him better than Cheltenham. You need a lot of stamina for definitely this year, I think, because it's going to be soft ground, and I think Aintree will suit him better.
Okay. Without those two, then, or aside from those two, do you have an opinion in the Triumph? Who would you be siding with?
To be honest, I do like Apseal.
Yeah.
If the ground comes up soft, which it will do, but if it was a bit more testing than soft, I think he will be very hard to beat.
Okay. Abyssal in 20-1 at the moment for the Triumph hurdle. So if it is a testing ground Triumph, then that could be a bit of interest at 20-1. The third question is, what future pointers were there from the Betbright and Ida chasers, two big chasers at the weekend? And what did you make of the form from those?
Well, the Ida winner, Wick Hill, obviously was impressive on the day. But personally, I don't think he's a future champion. He's a 10-year-old. He's only rated 106 over hurdles. I know he's a better chaser than a hurdler. But I wasn't very... Obviously, I was impressed with him on the day, but I wasn't very impressed with the race. I didn't think it was... and Bray Parade, I mean, he refused to race a few runs, and I said, he's a bit of a tricky horse. To be honest, I wouldn't like him as a horse. He's got... His attitude looks not great.
Okay. So sticking with Wick Hill as well, I mean, he's run some pretty disappointing races before the Ida, and with it just being a slog in the mud, and that pretty much suited him.
Yeah, it suited him, to be honest. It was a good training performance, but I wouldn't think he is I don't think he's a champion.
Okay. What did you make of Bally Legend? A bit of a surprise winner on the day, but ran well in the end.
Yeah, a bit of a surprise winner, but conditions suited, I think, and to be honest, it is very hard this time of year with horses winning big races, and because you're thinking like, oh god, if it had been better ground, or I think the conditions and race suited him. I was impressed with him, but I think on better ground you'd see different results.
Yeah, it's one of those where the form can't really be taken too strongly because of the ground. The conditions made the result rather than the form in a way. Okay, what do you do with On His Own? Would you go Grand National, Punchestown, or the Cheltenham Gold Cup?
I would put him in the Gold Cup, but I think William Mullins won't. It'll come up too soon for him. But there's only one. I would say this year is not his year for the Grand National, and I would put him in the Punchestown Gold Cup.
The Punchestown Gold Cup, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Would you be tempted at all to send him to the National with it being £1 million and obviously one of the flagship races? I mean, purely because of the reputation of the race, I don't think a lot of people don't think he's suited to entry, and he's probably better going the other way around as well.
Yeah, so. Definitely. I was just going to say that, because hopefully when entry comes, it would be better ground and they'll go that straight quicker. I don't think he's a National horse, to be honest, even though he's a really, really good horse. I would stick to... I would have gone to Cheltenham with him, but it's going to come up too soon. But I would punch it down as a place for him, I think.
Okay. If you could have only one bet at the Cheltenham Festival, what would it be?
Annie Power.
In which race?
In the World Hurdle.
Do you think she'll go to the World Hurdle then?
I'm not certain, but that's the kind of race I'd go for with her. I think she's the best mare. I wouldn't go for a mare's race with her. She's top class. Maybe I would might enter yours. I mean, AP McCoy has chosen to ride him. He was very impressive at Kempton. I know there was no hurdles there or anything like that, but times don't lie, and he done in a remarkable time. And I would McCoy. Geez, the way he chose him, and I know it took a few days for him to choose what he was going to ride, but I feel that he was always going to ride him, and you wouldn't mind the champion jockey being on your side, being the judge, would you?
Nice. He doesn't make too many mistakes, does he, when he's picking them? Going back to Annie Power just for a second as well. We've got 11-4 on her to win any race at the Cheltenham Festival, so you don't have to decide which race she's running in as a punter. If she goes to the World Hurdle, she's not going to be much bigger than 11-4 anyway, I don't imagine. And then you've still got your ticket if she goes to the Champion Hurdle as well, and she could. I mean, you'd probably get a bigger prize in the Champion Hurdle. But
yeah, she's remarkable. She's top class, and to be honest, it's a big shout for him to what race to send her to, but she's going to take some beating to whatever race she goes. I would be, if I had a runner in the race, I would be fearing her. Anyway, definitely.
Yeah. What do you make of Big Bucks, just aside from this question? Do you think he's the same horse going into this year's World Hurdle?
Yeah, I mean, I think the race would have brought him on a lot of done, even though trainers and jockeys would have felt that he was 100% for the race. He's going to come on for the run, and he's still going to be really, really hard to beat. I mean, he's top class, isn't he? I thought he ran well, to be honest. And there was a few people after it, blaming jockey or blaming trainer. They can blame who they want, but he will definitely come on for a run, and he still looks top class.
Yeah. Do you think they did what they did in the Cleve on purpose, because if he'd cruised around at the back of the field and then quickened up to win, he wouldn't have really
learned a lot from it. Yeah, yeah.
Whereas sticking him out in front and making him have a race of it should team up nicely for March, and that's obviously the big picture rather than winning the Cleve again or maintaining the unbeaten record.
Yeah, obviously because he was so good, they wanted to keep him unbeaten and all that, but he still ran really well. And like at the end of the day, like he's a horse. They come on from runs, and he definitely did need a run, and he still looks top class to me.
Yeah. So a fully fit and on top of his game big bucks against Annie Power in the World Hurdle. Won't be much between it. Would you side with Annie Power?
I would, because big bucks, even though he's really, really good, like he's a tiny bit quirky, and Annie Power looks like that. She wants it 100%. Like big bucks, you wouldn't know. I think Annie Power is definitely, and she's younger and she's not as exposed. Like I think she's top class.
Yeah, and the fact that Ruby Walsh should be on board as well. He knows all about big bucks.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, okay, interesting. And the final question of this week's Monday Jury: give us a winner in waiting that you spotted recently.
I know it's low grade stuff, but I was really impressed with a horse called Come On Dave. They ran in the flat the other day. He's a horse of Dandy Nicholas's, and he's got so much pace and speed, and he only runs over 5 furlongs, I know, but I think in low grade stuff, like, he's going to be very hard to beat lately. And he's rated 70 on the flat. He's a winner waiting to happen.
Okay, Come On Dave, then look out for him on the flat. That's good stuff. Thank you very much, Brian. It's been a pleasure to have you on the Monday Jury this week. Great racing coming up, and enjoy what we see.
Thanks very much.
This is William Hill Racing Radio.
Yes, the thoughts of Brian Toomey then on this week's Monday Jury, and now we can look ahead to Tuesday's racing. And joining me in the studio to do so is Mr. Ross Briley. How are you, Ross?
Hello, Mark Walton. I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm all right. Have you been practicing doing some of the old voice software? Because you sound like one of those, you know, where you type in the thing and it talks.
I'm auditioning for Siri. I'm sorry, I can't help you with that.
Yeah.
Would you like me to search the web for you?
That's,
no.
That's quite good.
Would you like me to search the web for you? No, I can search the web myself. What do you do, Siri? Nothing.
Yeah.
I cannot do anything. I'm sorry, your battery has run out. That's pretty much it.
It is, yeah.
I could do that. I could easily. Yeah. I don't know how much he gets paid, but it's too much.
I probably imagine he gets quite a bit.
I would have thought so,
being
yeah.
the voice of the iPhone.
It must be incredibly annoying, though, for his friends and family.
Like, just talks like that all the time, and they thought, hey, you'd be great on a phone.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But can you imagine ringing it up and going, you'd be like, hi, is John there? Hello. I'm sorry, John has gone out. Would you like me to search the house for you? No, Siri.
Yeah.
Let's
move on from that.
Let's spend the next 10 minutes imagining what it's like to be the voice of Siri. That sounds like a much more worthwhile use of our time.
Let's move this on to racing, Ross. We're going to look at the Tuesday's action in just a few moments. But
you're like a long-suffering wife, aren't you, in this podcast relationship?
Well, thank you.
Let's go on to the racing.
Come on, Ross. I've told you about this before. Just get in the car.
Just get. Yes, I've locked the door. I've told you twice. That's it. This is over. You keep the kids.
Okay, right. Over the weekend, we saw a few more clues towards Cheltenham and so on with the Dovecot and the other juvenile races. Irving was quite impressive. Anything stand out to you over the weekend that changed your opinion in any way?
No, not really, no.
Okay, let's move on to... I suppose one thing that came out of the weekend that will have changed...
Is
Sprinter Sakura won't run in the champion.
Yeah, it's pretty frustrating. Yes, well, I suppose it is frustrating, but people forget that this happens every year. There's always one high profile defector, which is a good name for a horse.
It would be, wouldn't it?
Yeah. He'd never make it to the big races, though.
And high profile defector is coming clear at the last.
What?
How did he get there? Remarkable. The success of Boulder Success, he keeps winning graded races again. This is what we talked about this a while back, and for example, Smad Place in the RSA, very much against that horse because he hasn't been tested in graded races. Boulder Success keeps been tested in great. He's won two grade twos on his last two starts, so he'd be an outside shirt in the Arkle. I mean, he's.
Do you think he'll go to the Arkle? The noises were that they prefer entry, wasn't it?
Yeah, possibly. But whatever they go for, he's good. He's proved that he's good, time and time again as well. So, and obviously Irving, smashing the Duff Cut to pieces, was very impressive. Again, Craig. I was talking to Craig outside, and you know, Ascot and Kempton form. They just, you know, flat tracks, and Cheltenham often does find them out. But he just set a very tempting standard. So yeah, I don't think the weekend really impacted my views a great deal. I think it's too late for my views to be impacted on most races, I'd say.
Okay.
Or too early, in a way. It's either too late or too early.
It's in limbo.
On the day,
yeah,
different things will come. But in terms of anti-post views, it's. But the Sprinter Sacra thing was a bit of a kick in the giblets, because obviously people want to see top quality horses turn up. And I was also just annoyed that I hadn't had a bet in that race beforehand.
Yeah.
Because you'd have been sitting in a lovely position.
You would.
Although whenever that happens, they always finish third and fourth.
Yeah.
You go, I've got, you know, as long as five of these eight horses win, one of the five, you're all right. And then the other three finish first, second and third. That's what often happens. Mm. Anyway.
Okay, well, let's move it on to Tuesday's racing. Then you're going to look at a couple of races at Catterick and one at Lingfield. So we'll start at Catterick in the 250, which is a Class 5 Lady Amateur Riders Handicap Hurdle.
Yes.
Over 2 miles and 3 furlongs. I'm hoping that you've got an angle into this that makes us talk about this race, because it's not it's not the easiest of races to solve.
Or is it? Let's find out. Yeah, well, I mean, Cumbrian Farm would have to be of interest for the Bewley team after winning on its penultimate start in a similar event with this jockey. Unseated its rider last time out at Newcastle in very heavy ground. That'd be your main starting point. I'm not entirely sure about Summer Leap. Only one win from 26 starts and keeps finishing second in similar events to this. But the one that keeps catching my eye is Blue Sea of Ibrox, who keeps running half decent races and just doesn't, I don't know, it keeps running races that suggest it might well pick up a weak race, and this is a weak race. Last time out it ran over an extended 3 miles at Sutherland, heavy ground, and it was still swinging along three hurdles from home, but it just didn't get home over that in that those conditions over that trip. But the winner, Trucker's Darling, went in again on its next start. And it just struck me as one of those runs that I thought, yeah, I'll keep an eye on him when he goes back into a proper grade. Before that, he finished third to Top Billing in a strong Doncaster handicap hurdle. As I said, he keeps running races that suggest he's got something in there. And 2 miles, three she. Furlongs. She, sorry.
Hmm.
Yeah. She keeps running races. 2 miles, three furlongs with Ali Sterling booked. She might have a better chance than the market suggests she does.
So Blue Sea of Ibrox, yes. Probably an each way price as well on the day.
I think she will be, yes. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Let's move on to the 420 at Catterick next. We'll stay at Catterick. We'll go to Lingfield in a moment. And this is a Class 4 handicap hurdle over the extended 3 miles and one furlong. And what has caught your eye in this one, Ross?
Big Sound is the one that interests me. Won a soft ground handicap hurdle last year at Hexham off a mark of 97. Then kind of lost its way. He is a bit in and out, but he ran a really nice race at Wetherby on his penultimate start in soft ground behind Rocky Stone and ahead of Over My Head in what looked a relatively decent race for the grade. I don't know what happened last time, man. It was very heavy ground. The horse hated every minute of that race. Just from the word go, he didn't show a great deal of spark. But yeah. I'm willing to forgive him that one run, as it was very very testing ground that day. It's not going to be as testing at all at Catterick on Tuesday. So he'd be of interest. Welsh Bard is dropping down in grade and has a little bit of a squeak, but I think he probably needs better ground, although it's not, as I said, it's not going to be really soft. And Brayon stayed on really nicely at Kelso last time out. But I'm not entirely convinced about the worthwhile nature of that form. So I thought Big Sam would be worth giving another chance because that run last time out was just far too bad to be true.
Okay, big sound then in the 4:20 at Catterick, and to Lingfield we go for their 3:30. And this is a Class 6 handicap over 7 furlongs, and we've got a horse in here that's banging form in the shape of Bertie Blue Boy. Do you think his winning run will continue to fall this afternoon?
I don't know. He's rattled up a hat-trick under incredibly incredibly positive tactics. He's only up £3, to be fair to him, but it's just starting to get harder from here on in. Yeah. He's joining Box One, which I don't know. I don't particularly like front runners being joined in Box One, because I quite like them sort of coming out and then crossing over, and then you get on. It's almost like a momentum kind of thing. Often, if you do, if you miss the kick by even a millisecond in Box One, you
swallowed up.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, again, people will back it. He's not handicapped out of it necessarily. I mean, he's only a stone higher than when his winning run started, so he's not exactly rattled into a new grade yet. I think he could potentially win this one more, and then he'll have to go into a Class 5, and then he'll have to start doing it against better horses. So I'm not taking him on because I definitely don't think he'll win, but there's just one horse that caught my eye, and that's Lutine Charlie, who consistently runs well. He's yet to win here on the turf on the all weather at Lingfield, which is a slight worry. But he hasn't finished running up a couple of starts, and he got beaten in a blanket finish last time. Well, a photo finish last time out behind Amazing Star. Amazing Star got the dream run down the centre of the track, was well backed and extremely well handicapped. Lutine Charlie travelled like the best horse in the race, but had to challenge sort of middle to inside, which is always slightly unfavoured at Wolverhampton. The third, Madame has since come out and finished a good second to Fab Lolly at the weekend, and one way or another, then went on, who finished fourth that day, went on to finish third to Bertie Blue Boy next time out, despite not getting the best of runs. So form ties in with Bertie Blue Boy, and Lutine Charlie is likely to be a much bigger price in the market. Again, I think if Bertie Blue Boy does win again, this will be his last, because he'll be out of this grade from here on in. He could just get away with it, but Lutine Charlie could be the each way play.
Okay, Lutine Charlie then, each way in that race. Let's have a quick summary of your selections, Ross, if you wouldn't mind spinning us through them one more time.
We'll go for the potentially well-handicapped mare, Blue Sea of Ibrox, in the 250 at Catterick. Then Big Sound in the 420 at Catterick, and Lutine Charlie might well be the each way play in the 3:30 at Lingers.
Okay, good stuff, Ross. Thank you very much. Enjoy it on Tuesday.
Thank you, Mark Walton. You are my hero.
So there you go, the thoughts of Ross Briley on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50 PM with Sean Quinn, Greg Forsyth and Stephen Powell in the studio. Catterick and Leicester are the two jumps meetings, and Lingfield on the all-weather as well. So three meetings in total. Tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.